Hey everyone, welcome to the Long Haul Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth, and I'm here with my co-host, Vito, who for some reason is not saying hi. Because I was mocking you right before we hit record.
Yeah, it's not nice. I do not like being mocked.
Babe, if you give a reason to be mocked, don't be mad when you're mocked.
Whatever. What's up, everybody?
What up?
How's everyone doing? I didn't hear any responses.
I know. Can you say it a little bit louder, guys?
You'd speak up a little bit, okay?
I can't hear you.
So how many weeks are you?
34.
Okay, so in 3 weeks, you'll be full term. 6 weeks is like technically fully baked. And then 42 is... Okay, so we have 34, 42, 6, 8 weeks, 2 months... Oy, oy, oy.
Probably less than.
Yeah.
That would be at the most.
Mm-hmm.
2 months at the most would
three,
be.
2 months at the most, 3 weeks at the least. Well, any day now really could
Isn't
be.
It crazy that I'm like full term between, like I'll be considered full term in anywhere from in 3 weeks to 8 weeks. I'm full term for 5 weeks.
Right. Well, because there's no science that says this is the exact day that you... were conceived, and this is the exact day that the baby's going to come.
Well, reason for the 37 weeks is that, well, I would say I'm full term at 38, but that's when, like, the lung development, the lungs are the last thing to develop,
mm-hmm.
and the baby needs to breathe on their own. So it's like, okay, the baby could be fully developed by 37 weeks, or the lungs could still be developing up until
sure
a little bit later. So usually, I mean, if I had the baby now, there's chances that it would need only a little NICU care
mm-hmm.
Compared to like a month ago. You know what mm-hmm, I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and at 37 weeks, it potentially would need none.
Crazy. That's wild.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I'm very nervous. We have a lot to do here.
What are you most nervous about, you think?
Is
it more just getting stuff done around the house, or are you nervous for the birth at all?
No, I think just keeping it alive is what I'm most nervous about.
The child?
Yeah. Yeah, just the birthing experience, like, whatever. I mean, I think that your body's made to do it, so I'm not too worried for you. I think it'll be an amazing accomplishment for you. But I don't think it's like... I think you're made to do it, so it's going to be awesome.
I double-checked today if you could help deliver the baby, and they said yes.
Nice.
Because I was like, I didn't know, like, with COVID and everything, mm-hmm. if anything had changed, because she had told us that in January.
Right.
You know, so lots happened. And I said, if everything's going well, can Vito still help catch the baby? And she said, yes.
Yeah.
I think it might be different if I'm COVID positive.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully you're not. Yeah. And yeah, so I would say that's probably what I'm most nervous about, is just parenting, you know, keeping the baby alive. And I don't care about no sleep, really. I don't, whatever, you know.
That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, I've done it before. We can deal with it. Everybody does it.
You've done no sleep before?
Well, think about just every parent ever in history has done it. So it's like.
Right.
There's no reason to complain. It's just, you don't get sleep. Tough.
Tough.
You know
what I'm really hoping, though, they say around 4 months is a good time to sleep train,
mm-hmm.
and that at 4 months our baby gets in a good ritual. And because I'm like, okay, 4 months, I can go 4 months being a little sleep deprived. So I'm like, at 4 months, if the baby gets in a good ritual and we're able to sleep train a bit, then we'll have a little time at night.
Babe, the next 20 years are going to be no sleep.
No, that's not
true. We might get a day or two. Babe, just the stress of, okay, so now our kid's 16 and they're out late. You think you're going to be sleeping fine?
I think you will be. You sleep through everything.
Maybe. I'm just saying, it's just like the stress of having a kid will keep us awake. Not even the crying.
I don't know.
But, or we could be like that lady in England who's been breastfeeding her 9-year-old.
Oh my gosh, that was... no judgment, but I'm judging.
So,
she also breastfeeds her husband.
Yeah, so that's a different story. But I just wanted to... I noticed we got a gift from a lovely listener.
Mika.
And yeah, I was going to say, how do you pronounce the name? Mika or Mika?
Mika Joyce.
Mika Joyce. Thank you for the lovely letter and the lovely gift.
The onesie and the zero candle. I wonder if they'll let us open it in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering what that was. Oh, it said in the note. Yeah, that's cute. It was really nice. It was a nice...
Really thoughtful.
Yeah. You know what it was? It was a nice... it was a, not like a distraction, but it was a nice, like, everything's so chaotic here. And it was a nice, like, ah, oh, that was nice. Mm-hmm. But it was unexpected and, you know.
Right.
Very appreciated, but yes, so totally not so necessary. But we are very grateful. That was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the letter was the nicest thing. But
sorry.
COVID.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
That was
so Liz intense. Does this thing now where she sneezes into her open palm.
Yeah.
instead of her elbow.
But you guys, I have a reason.
Why?
Because when I sneeze, I'm actually just really focused on clenching my vagina so I don't pee.
Right, right.
That I'm not paying attention. I'm like, oh my gosh, the sneeze is coming on. Cross legs, everything together, tight, and go. Yeah. Like, I'm not thinking sneeze into
your
elbow.
Your hand is like the last thing on your mind. So by the time it gets to your mouth, it's just your
I'm like, pee my pants, sneeze in my hand.
Right.
Those are my options right now. It's and terrible. We're at home. I'm not in public.
I know. I just tease. And you wash and you do all the masks and stuff. And
yeah. In public today, I felt like I was going to sneeze with my mask on, but I didn't.
Well, that would be interesting.
Yeah. I didn't, so that was nice.
Yeah. So, you pressed record, right? We're recording?
We're recording.
Okay. We were just eating dinner. What?
I'm just very curious what you're going to say.
Oh. So, we were just eating dinner, and that we were listening to a podcast, and we were like, oh my gosh, like this information, whatever. And then you said that... You're like, man, we live in a crazy world.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, I was like, I think we just live in a misguided world. Yes. Like our focus is, in my opinion, is on all of the wrong things. Maybe not all of them, but for the most part, the wrong things. The things that take us away from true happiness, and which happiness is like a thing that we're always looking for. And it always seems to elude us because we're looking in all the wrong places. Because it also, our society at least, takes our vision away from God and our true nature, which is our spirits, right? But and then I immediately thought of, so I listened to this podcast, and I try not to. It's the My Favorite Murderer or My Favorite Murder podcast. It is so dark and depressing, and it is so addicting. And I don't subscribe to it because I know I'll listen to every episode. But usually when I plow through my podcasts, I'll be like, oh, damn, I have nothing to listen to.
Hold on real quick. I went on a true crime streak when I was training for the marathon last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I got you. You're like, what do you listen to? Because I had trained for the marathon. And you said, what do you listen to? And I was like, listen to Serial. This guy got arrested. I don't know if he did it. And then you listened to it. And then you listened to like 19 other ones.
No, I didn't. I listened to like... 3 or 4 other ones.
Oh, okay.
And you would get on me.
Because it's so negative. You'd be like, so depressing.
Oh my gosh, don't listen to this. And then especially once I got pregnant, you're like, you can't put anything in your mind that
I know.
Baby's going
to
hear.
Listen, I just said that I don't subscribe
to it.
And
you're doing it.
I know. I just said it's dark and depressing and it is addicting.
Well, when we start to conceive again.
Yeah.
You can't do that because it's going to go into your sperm.
Yeah, it will. I don't even like, so everyone's like, oh, The Sopranos is the greatest show I ever created. My brother's like, oh, you haven't seen it? I've seen it 15 times. And I think it's stupid. I haven't watched any like The Godfathers or anything that makes Italians look
stupid. We should watch
stupid.
The Godfather though.
Yeah. So I'm willing to watch it. But I started The Sopranos and it's like, it's so dark and depressing. But now I'm like, I have to finish it. But even Sons of Anarchy was so dark and depressing that I ended up fast forwarding through the last season just to see how it ended, because, you know, you're invested or whatever. But I don't
need the closure.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff in our house. I don't like the energy in our house. That. Yeah. And when I would listen, the thing was, I would walk past you listening to your podcast, and it'd be like, and then she murdered this person by doing this and that and going into details. Like, what the hell are you listening
to? That's not true.
But this My Favorite Murder podcast is even worse. This thing is like, have you listened to it?
No.
Oh, it's a great podcast. I don't recommend it, only because it's just all about murder. And it's like real.
I only listen to pregnancy podcasts. Okay,
so it's like real stories. Either way. Long tangent. So we're in the kitchen, crazy world, misguided, thought of this podcast where they told a story about a young boy who, when the Ferguson, who was like the first Black Lives Matter protest, where this little black boy was crying and he was hugging a cop, and the photo went viral and everything, and that kid ended up dying. So they talk about this family and the murder, and they go into all these details that I'm going to butcher, and I don't have the names or whatever. But
you're not going to go into details about the murder, right?
No, because I'm going to butcher it. So go listen to the podcast if you want to. I don't suggest it because it's dark and depressing, and it's great. So, so either way, what I'm saying has
just keep going
full circle. Full circle.
Keep going.
So this little boy was crying, and I was hugging a cop, whatever. But he was like really crying, and everyone's like, "Oh, look, like he's a little black boy. He's, you know, feeling. He's so scared of cops, and you know, he's like finally feeling love from one." They like create this whole narrative around it, whatever. And so it's these two white lesbian chicks who adopt like six black kids, and they are heavy on social media. They are like the perfect family. They go to all of like the yogi retreats and the all like be you, feel free. They have like the best Instagram and Facebook accounts, and like everyone loved this family when they would see them at the festivals and stuff. And I ended up looking them up. Or I saw an article about them, and their pictures, you were like, oh man, I want to be a part of this family, you know?
Oh yeah, like, from the pictures.
Yeah, like they just looked like so much fun.
Because they had like a little farm too, right?
They grew their own garden. They had farm animals. They were like just the free spirit. Everything looked great. They could, whatever. It just looked perfect. And the way they died, bring it to the end, is the parents were actually neglecting the kids and almost like torturing them, not giving them food, completely neglecting them, where they were running away from their house to go sneak to the neighbor's house to eat, but then were afraid that the parents, which these lesbian moms, were going to find out and whatever. And they ended up driving down the coast. The moms were driving, overdosed, gave all the kids like an unbelievable amount of whatever. So the details, it's bad. They drove off a cliff, killed everybody.
And they had six adopted kids, right?
Yeah, and they all died. And so, again, do not listen to that podcast. It's very depressing. But it brings me full circle, because I was thinking, because we're growing our tribe, right? Like, now we're bringing a kid into our family, and this world can be crazy, right? And I think because of like a family like that, where they're focused on looking so good on social media and getting love from strangers and likes and notifications, basically, that they were so disconnected from actual happiness and like what's actually important.
Well, and that boy was like crying, hugging that cop because the cop was nice to him. Like
he needed an adult to give love.
Right.
This kid had zero love. Those kids had zero love, but they looked awesome on social media.
That's so sad.
I was thinking about, there's these families that do like all these Christmas music videos and stuff, and they have like the best social media accounts, and they look like loving, awesome people online, but we have no idea.
Right. You really don't have any idea.
So you know my views on social media and how it's the devil, but I was thinking, because now we're growing our tribe, like, how do we make sure that we are guided in the right direction, right? So like, what does it mean? Because in our society, we look at family. So I know this is like a couples podcast, but this is also like a family podcast and a Christian podcast too. But how do we define family for us? Because right now it's all about who's doing the, like in the quarantine, like, oh, look at these moms set up these classrooms in their basement. Oh, they're so this, they're so, look how organized they are. Look how whatever. And we're comparing each other and everybody's looking so good on Facebook and Instagram. And there might not be any family values in the actual home. So if we were to, because we're misguided, we're looking at what everything looks like. How do we get our eyes on the on what's right and what's true?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you, so that's what I want to ask you. Like, how do you define family? I guess would be the first question. I have a list of questions.
I like it.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. That's hard. How do you define family?
Mm-hmm. Don't think too much into it.
I am thinking too hard right now. I think just because like what comes up for me is like everyone has different definitions. I don't think it's...
But what's yours? I don't care. That's the thing. I don't care about anybody else.
Yeah, my family, how I would define it is like mom, dad, husband, brother, sister, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. So I've seen in my extended family, my parents' siblings, that... title like brother, sister, mom, dad has no value if there's no value given to it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Like
yes,
if
I do.
If nobody's under, if nobody has a purpose for their roles, like if your title has no purpose, has no direction, has no role, then it's just a title.
I think though that I guess like the difference between family is I think family is the hard relationships, like the people that are going to love you and accept you, but also speak truth to you and that you can have like tough love with as mm-hmm. well. And things like that. I think that having people who love you, value you, but can also speak truth into your life without like, yeah, you might get mad, but you're going to get over it. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't tell you how many times Corinne and I have talked and we've disagreed on something. And she's, you know, especially when I was in my 20s and being crazy, she would like cry and just say things to me and we'd get in a big fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, I just love you so much, you know, and knowing that your family, to me at least, I feel like my family, and that's including all of your family, your parents and your siblings, we all have each other's best interests at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we may not view that the same. I might think the best interest for you may not be what you think is for you, you know,
mm-hmm.
but we can still have those conversations and call each other out and grow together.
Mm-hmm.
Like with friends, I've had a few fights with friends. And you don't have to love them no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, maybe you do still love them, but it doesn't mean that person needs to be in your life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that you can cut ties with family as well. Luckily for us, in our immediate families, we've never had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so to me, it's those people, like I said, you could get, they see your best and your worst, and they love you anyways.
Mm-hmm. I'm taking notes. You said a lot of good things. What I think is kind of a good segue is you say they see the best and worst, right? So like for the families that we can get sucked into loving online is we're only seeing their best.
Right.
Or if they show us their worst, it's a staged worst.
Right. Oh my gosh, look, I look such a mess today.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, look how disorganized my kitchen is. And there's like a fork on the table. But it's all staged, right? It's all for this idea. But what you're saying is, so like what I would define family as like a group of people who unconditionally love each other and have the best interests in mind.
Mm-hmm.
for each other. And I don't even think that goes. So for me, it's different because I grew up with all of my cousins. I didn't have many friends that weren't blood. So for me, I would say, yeah, anybody who you can have the hard conversations with and say you're absolutely 100% wrong and what you did was wrong, and I can yell at you and like whatever, you know, be disappointed in you. But just because I'm disappointed in you doesn't mean that I don't love you. It actually means I love you so much that I'm feeling disappointed. Because if I didn't love you, I'd be like, you're an idiot. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. Where it's so, like, oh, it doesn't affect me, so I don't care.
Right. So I think it's important to, I think it's important that we do this and have this conversation, mm-hmm. because now we're starting a family. Like, it's just me and you. Like, yes, we're one, but now we're like raising a family, mm-hmm. from zero, where we both have our pasts and what made us who we are. Well, now we are making someone who they are.
Right.
In a way.
But I also think we both have our strengths, and that's like where it's awesome doing it together, because areas that I may not be strong in, you are.
Right.
And I think that that's where we need to also nurture each other and let each other.
Yeah. And it's important to identify our strengths and to utilize them. So like, if we don't do this exercise and we don't know what our strengths are and we don't know what our vision is for our family, then we're just leaving our family up to chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that, because I've seen really good hearted people who are completely misunderstood in their family because they just never communicated.
Mm-hmm.
They just, like, even my buddy, his dad committed suicide, mm-hmm. like 7 years, 8 years ago or something. And a genuinely good guy, just had a lot of demons and just never addressed it, never felt comfortable to address it. He was an alcoholic, and then he just took life into his own hands.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody who, you know, with the right communication could be able to, you know, potentially get help. And that's, it's just a tough reality. So I think starting now, having these conversations could be a value. I don't know. What do you think?
I do, yeah.
What's going on? Is the baby kicking?
Sorry, that was uncomfortable. Yeah, the baby's just like so high up. There was just something super hard right here and it was moving around.
I thought it was low. Or it's both.
The head is low.
So is it just straight? Is it doing like a pencil dive or what?
No, it's definitely, so the head is down here, the back's right here in the butt, and then its legs are kind of curled up here, and then it's like.
So it's just a very tall baby?
I don't know. It might be, because it's literally down in my pube today. She's like, the head's really low and its feet are
or
really
maybe
high.
You're just like a tiny human and it's a normal size
baby. I have a short
baby.
Torso, but.
Yeah.
I mean, how long is this baby? That's
So we defined what a family is. What do you want our family vision to be? So a family is almost like a team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have each other's best interests in mind. We want each other to win, because if the team wins, the team wins, right? So, but in order for us to work well together, we have to have the same goal in mind, right? Because if we're on the same team, but you're trying to win this game, I'm trying to win that game, then we're not going to win anything, right? So we have to have the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Am I asking it?
Reed, just ask the question one more time.
What do you want our family goal to be, our family vision to be?
I mean, I think goal and vision are two different things, because it's like I have a vision of what I would love for our family to be.
Okay, what is it?
Well, some words that come to mind is like unit, like unity. Like, mm-hmm. you said, where we have each other's back. I think generosity. I'd love to raise our kids to just be generous, to be that kid who, if someone on the playground needs a coat, they give them theirs,
mm-hmm.
you know, type of thing. Obviously loving, and accepting, like reflecting God. I mean, godly. And I think educated is big for me too, because we live in a world where people value opinion over education a lot. And I recently dealt with something, not a big deal, like just in the Miraculous Mamas group. And one of the moderators was like, hey, do you mind if I post this? And I'm like, no, not at all. It's about like your rights during COVID, during birth. And people like freaked out because it's like, you have a right to refuse a test. You have a right to what? And they're like, why would you do that? Why would you be so selfish? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this person isn't saying that they're doing it. This is education because you have the rights to. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but these are your rights. And it's you get to know them. You know what I mean? So people value the opinion of what's right or wrong over what your actual rights are as a person.
Instead of saying, oh, wow, I didn't know that I had the right to.
I have the right to do this. I'm not going to because I don't think that that's the responsible choice to make. But I understand that that's your right as well. You know, so like just things like that. Yeah, I think education is really important. Being educated. I'm trying to think.
So like if I were to ask you like, oh, the Presta family, they are a family that... Those guys are always
working.
No, I'm saying for our family that we're creating.
Oh, I was thinking of your family.
No, 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 no. I'm thinking the Liz and Vito, their family.
I would say we're always partying, man. We're always having parties at our house, having people over, like opening our door. Like those people are always, I'd say involved. That would be a word. Involved. I want to be a family that's involved in our community, involved in our church, involved in like just involved in the way that like people know, oh, if I ever need anything, I can knock on their door.
Yeah.
We'll be like, oh, you have nowhere to eat tonight? Come eat at our house.
So how is that going to work if we are always getting down and dirty?
I mean, we'll have, there's signs like knock before entering.
Well,
there's
that's
a sock on the door.
I never, so like all, most of my aunts and uncles and whatever, it was a revolving door. Every door was open. Like if you go to my aunt's house right now, the door is open. There's a storm door that's glass and you could see right into the house and the door is open.
Right.
Without fail, every time.
I'm just saying the door to our bedroom.
Right.
There's
right.
A cowboy
but we
hat
don't,
on
we
the
don't
door.
Always say
make it there. Right. But when we have kids, it's most likely always going to be in the bedroom.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure. Yeah, I like the cowboy hat. We got to get a nice one.
When the hat's on the door, don't come in.
Good one.
I was trying to think of a rhyme. I can't. It's like, what is it? When something, the boots go knocking, don't come.
When the boats are rocking, don't come a knocking.
Whatever. I thought there was something about boots in there. I'm wrong.
Yeah, you can knock boots, I think is a term,
right,
too.
Right, yeah, then I don't know.
Yeah.
When the boots are knocking, don't come knocking. Dang it. Okay, anyway. Later on the menge.
Later on the menge.
So, yeah.
I'll either be there or I'll not be there.
No, I'll either see ya or I'll see ya another time. See ya later or see ya another time. He's like, wait, are you going to be there later? Yeah, so I think that that's like what I envision. What do you envision? I think, so again, I think the vision's different than the goal.
Yeah. I think the goal is to raise a family that... that loves and respects each other. I think love and respect are huge. And also intentionally works on loving and respecting our neighbors. because I do think that there is something to be said about, and again, we're not there yet, so maybe my opinion will change. But I do think that everything starts in the home. And then once we can get our own stuff together, like, yeah, we have to, God said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love your neighbor. So, like, those are my goals. Love God, love our neighbor. And I'm throwing respect in there, too. But I do think that there are people that you do need to guard your heart from.
Mm-hmm.
So, love them. I don't know if everybody deserves respect. But I think God calls us to love everybody. So.
Right. But he also gives us discernment. So it's like, I could love you, but that doesn't mean that I allow you into my life.
Right. I want our family to be a family of compassion and also, not motivation, but, tell me the word I'm thinking of, babe.
I was just thinking doers, but.
Yeah. Doers. But what's the word?
Action. We're a family of action.
We're a family of action. We're go-getters. We're not like moping around or wasting our day. Like in the summers, we either played sports or worked.
Mm-hmm.
If we ever said the word bored, if we ever used the word bored, we were immediately put to work.
Yeah.
That was like,
the rule in our house,
right,
too.
That was the F word to my dad.
Yeah.
He would get up and freak out if we ever said, I'm bored. Yeah.
Let me give you something to do.
And he would just go dig a hole. What's the hole for? Nothing. You're going to dig a hole and then fill it back in. Just, you're not bored. Or go entertain yourself and never use that word again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a ton of stuff that you can be doing. So I definitely want to be a family of go-getters. I just don't, and I like work hard, play hard sort of thing, but not even work just for the sake of working, but contributing to society, right? If we're not.
I think that's what I was trying to think of earlier. Like I want to raise humans that contribute to society.
Yeah, if we're not contributors, then we're just suckling on the teat of the world. I don't think that's what God calls us to do.
Yeah.
So I want to be a family of contributors. And I think I want our vision to be I want to be magnetic.
Okay.
I want our family to be like the family that everyone wants to come to our house and be around us because we are just genuinely good people who celebrate everyone around us.
Yeah.
Like so as an Italian family, and you've learned this very quickly, everything is like, oh, cool. Have you thought about this, 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 and this, and why it won't work? Like, I support you, and my family will support everything we do.
Have you thought about every worst-case scenario that could potentially probably not happen?
Right. So, like, there's that. And then there's the I support you, what do you need? And then they'll tell you, well, you know, I can't get past this hurdle. Like, okay, well, what are our options to get past this hurdle? Not, oh, yeah, that hurdle is, yeah, that is true. But, like, no, like, what if anything was possible? You know, like, I want to be that kind of family.
Mm-hmm.
That we can help, well, not only ourselves and our children and our nieces and nephews, and not even help them like we're giving them money, but just help motivate or help inspire people around us. I think, yeah, being magnetic of like just carrying around an energy of let's go get the day and let's enjoy the little things and celebrate everyone and everything around us.
Yeah.
Because 99.9% of people complain. And so leave it to them. Let them complain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's be the family that doesn't complain. Let's be the family that is grateful.
Mm-hmm.
And that, celebrates life.
I think that, like, one thing came to mind when you were talking about being magnetic and celebrating and then going back to being contributors. One thing that I want to be really intentional, I think, with our children is when they're young, not asking them, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? Asking them those type questions. Like, what do you want to invent? How do you want to make the world better?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you want to change the world for the better when you're older? Not what do you want to be? Because I don't think that that's...
Well, not even when you're older, right? Like, you were listening to this, the podcast where this these people homeschool, and in order for the kids to get a phone, they had to create a profitable business, no?
Mm-hmm.
So why wait till you're older?
No, right, but that's like
her... I understand what you're saying, though. Right, like, not the focus of what do I want to be? Yeah, because that...
But they were like, well, what do you want to invent? Like, this kid's really passionate. He's 12 or 13, so passionate about clean energy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working out a way to come... He figured out he has worms in his bottom two drawers in his room.
Mm-hmm.
And these mealworms can actually decompose plastic at a rate way faster than it decomposes in landfills.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing this whole experiment on it now and wants to figure out a way to turn that into a business one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he has like three other businesses going and he's 13.
Right.
You know, but it's crazy. And I think that that's... I think that, I mean, we could say all the problems wrong with the world and we don't have kids and things like that, but we had to earn things when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing was just given to us. It wasn't like, oh, you get a phone now. It's like, are you, like, you have your driver's license, you're like, you've proven that you're responsible, you've proven these different things. Basically, you earned it.
Mm-hmm.
You showed us that you can handle this or whatever. And then if I showed them I couldn't, it was taken away, type thing. And everybody just kind of expects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you have to teach them young to contribute. What are you contributing? And that we all even contribute within our family. You know, it's not just, I have my role, you have your role. Yes, we definitely have our roles, but as a family, we work together as a unit and we contribute. We all help clean the house. We all clean up after dinner. We all, everybody has their duty to keep the house running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not all of the responsibility put on me or you or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to get something in our house. Like, you know, people like paint on their house, like, oh, this is all because two people fell in love. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody has that. We love you if you have it.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen that?
No.
Oh, it's in every home.
Okay.
But it's cute and we'll get it, I'm sure. But I also want to get something that, like, is our... Like, you can buy a generic one from...
Like, our family mission statement.
Right. But you can get a generic one where, like, our family laughs more than cries or whatever. You know, like, all of that. But I want to make one.
Yeah.
Like, a personal one that, you know, like, kind of like what we're doing. And then hang it up that way. And something short. And maybe something long, too. Maybe we just get, like, a love and respect sign right when you come in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a fly?
No way.
It's a drone or something.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. That was so loud. You can't hear it, I'm sure, but there's someone's flying a drone like right outside our window.
No, we'll think of something. But I think it's cool to have a family mission statement because anytime I've done anything with business, like, which I've jumped around with a lot of things, like, oh, I'm going to write a book. Oh, I'm going to open this thing. Oh, I'm going to start a blog. Oh, I'm going to podcast. And it's like, okay. What's your mission statement? Like, it's good to get clear on something because it's like, okay, well, when people look at this, what do you want them to see? What do you want it to say? What is this about? And you need to have like a clear purpose. Otherwise, you're all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that it'd be nice to have like a family mission statement.
Yeah.
For us.
Yeah. Well, let's make that our homework. We used to give out homework on this show.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so why don't you guys give us your family mission statements?
Yeah, or even your partnership, like, you know, if you're in a relationship or if you just got married or whatever, what is your mission statement for your relationship or for your family?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Hmm. Or vision statement. I don't really understand the difference, but...
I don't know. A vision's like... For me, what I visualize our family being, and then a goal is usually like one achievable thing for me.
Yeah. You could look it up. Just Google how to write a mission statement or how to write a vision for whatever. Yeah, I think that's good homework. I mean, what do you think, babe?
I do. Did you have anything else written down?
No, that was my... I don't know how it all connected, but basically social media is bad. People got murdered. What's our vision for our family?
In three easy steps.
Yeah.
No, but that is true with the social media stuff too. And I know that like you've deleted yours.
Which it doesn't delete.
Really?
Like when someone sends me a text that's like an Instagram post and I click to go watch it, it'll sign me back into my Instagram.
Oh.
And then I have to go through and then I have to wait a week to disable it again. You can't just like delete it. But either way, neither here nor there.
Yeah, so and we were just listening to a podcast too about social media in teenagers and in teenage girls and things like that. And I really feel like we have to, again, I think it goes back to the misguided thing.
Mm-hmm.
We really have to protect our kids. I think 100%. There is such a thing as overprotecting 100% our kids who are like uber sheltered.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need to let them, they need to learn. That's why I love traveling. Like if you go somewhere together, they get to see how other cultures and people live and you get to experience like, oh, the toilets in the United States are the best toilets in the world.
The best.
Because they are. But it's like, oh, but this beauty in this other place or, you know, whatever.
Well, they're sheltered where they're literally in a shelter and they don't see the sunlight, right? And then they don't even know what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just protecting them from what we know is detrimental, which is social media with kids. It's like all these opinions of avatars, basically, like faceless people. That our brains aren't developed for, and it's unnecessary, but you can bring them, like you're saying, travel, go talk with different people, meet strangers, like
read.
Yeah.
Like
you
there's
know?
So much to read. There's so many, you want your kids to learn, I think.
And introduce them to murder and all that stuff and why it's bad and that there is evil in the world. And this is it's a crazy world. Like it's crazy to think, well, you can say crazy or it's a miracle that there's a perfect composition of molecules in the air or elements in the air that allow us to breathe, that allows the ocean to do what, you know, it's like we live in a miracle of a world that's also like straight chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's plates underneath the surface that are shifting. And if they hit each other in the right moment, like a mountain will form, you know, or like a tsunami will start in Japan and hit Chile. It's like it's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want, you know, you are.
But then you also like can't raise them to live in fear.
Right. We have to marvel at these things and not fear.
I think
fear
I was always pretty fearless as a kid. I was more so. I got really scared. I remember as a kid of the end of times, the Book of Revelations.
I have never read that book.
I learned about it at a very young age.
Ooh, okay, so that to me is not necessary.
And I remember thinking, as we were taught, it talks about how like old school torture things are going to come back. They're going to be beheading people. And basically, they're going to ask you, do you love Jesus? And if you say yes, they're going to murder your family in front of you and then kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like a 7-year-old, 8-year-old kid thinking, I remember asking like, so if they ask me if I believe in God or not, and if I say yes, they're going to kill you. You want me still to say yes? And being told, yes, you never deny God.
Mm.
And being like, oh my gosh, like what? but I always thought at a very young age, which, you know, I'm still like the same. Like, I always thought if somebody broke into my house, I could kick their butt and I'm basically a ninja on the inside.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I still think that today. I feel like in my mind, I have this superhuman strength that I'm sure I probably don't have, you know, but I'm like,
for sure,
I'm like, man, if anybody ever tries to take me down, they'll be dead. And I'm like this petite woman.
Yeah. I don't know where you got this idea from.
I don't know either, but I've always been pretty fearless of like that kind of stuff. But, and I know so many fears are normal, but you do, I think it's really important to teach your kids not to fear, like to be smart, but don't be afraid because ultimately like God is in control.
And being smart is getting off social media.
Yeah, I can't, so.
No, right. I mean, you could limit the time that you're on it for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm saying even for, especially for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Just.
Well, and we've even talked about how we don't want, like, our kids aren't going to be on there a lot, like, just even on my account.
Why would they ever be on your account?
I'm just saying, people want to see, like, mommy baby photos and things like that.
Oh, like you taking.
Right.
No, they're not going to be on there at all.
Yeah, we have to go through this discussion. We haven't agreed.
We've agreed.
We haven't agreed, but okay. I think I've agreed
for us. Now, let me run you through a scenario.
No.
You have a public account. That means anybody, any human with an Instagram account on any face of the earth can see your pictures. Okay? So that means how many murderers and pedophiles are even in our town?
Mm-hmm.
Enough.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to know exactly what your kid looks like, their name, what they're into, all this information that you're just giving to them. When I was a kid, I was before really cell phones. Me and my buddy were playing outside in the mm-hmm. front yard in a very busy neighborhood, and we were young. We were shooting hoops, and this guy drove up and called us by name and said, "What did he say?" He said, "Your mom called me. You need to get in, and we need to go see her right now. Like, get in the car." And we looked at each other, and we looked back at the guy, and he said, called us by name again and said, "Get in. I have to take you to your parents." And we took off running the other way. This was a guy who, I don't know who he was, but when a time where there was no social media, knew all this stuff. So now you're just willingly giving everybody all this information, their likes, their dislikes, how they're doing in school, what they look like, their name, their middle name, their everything. No, there's no discussion. There's just no discussion.
I agree with what you're saying. I think that people put way too much information about their children out there.
What is the benefit? What's the gain that you get, you personally? Not the listeners, I'm not even pretending like you're here. What's the gain that you get? Because I'm sure I'm going to get whatever. But what's the gain that you get of posting a picture of your child?
I don't know. I think for me, it's like, I want the content that I post to be relatable. I want to be honest, and mm-hmm. I want to, and a part of you too, it's like, oh my gosh, look at this baby that we made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't agree with, I follow some accounts who their phone is constantly in their baby's face, like all day long. Like, oh my gosh, look, they just had their first smile. Oh, okay. Look, they just so did this. And I think
let's not move too far.
Too much.
Let's not move too far.
But I think a few pictures is okay.
So you want your account to be relatable,
mm-hmm.
and you're willing to risk the safety of your children just so your account can be relatable.
I think you're being a little too extreme. Like,
no, I don't think I'm being extreme enough.
Our baby's going to be here. It's not like.
That's fine. Again, anybody can see our family, our baby, and know everything about them.
Not everything.
So there's a guy who has an account, right? That my brother follows. He's a hunter. He's got like a million followers or mm-hmm. something. His kids are in his posts from the shoulders down.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "My daughter, my son." Shoulders down, meaning no face, no hair, nothing. They went fishing. He posts a picture of the kids holding the fish in their hands. Go for it. Go for it. You do not use their name. You don't say, we went fishing, caught it. Cool. That's it.
I know a lot of people who post photos, but they don't post their face.
The face should never be shown in a photo. And I'm judging.
So like we can never post a family photo on social media.
It is unnecessary.
But then that's also where, because I told my mom already how you felt about it. You have to have a conversation with your family.
Oh, 100%.
That they can't. 100%. But also, what if we're taking a big group family picture?
Listen, there's going to be 1,000 kids and no one's going to know whose ours is.
Just make somebody else hold them for the photo?
Yeah. you know how many times we take family pictures and like, I'm over here, my brother's over there, my parents are over there. Even when we were young, when we did the family picnics and stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't. The risk reward is completely imbalanced. And my brother and sister do it. You know, all my cousins do it. They all it's just a thing that we have accepted in society. So if you're listening, you're like, man, Vito, you're making me feel like garbage about posting. I get it. I get why people do it. I get it. We live in a world where like our world is on Instagram. So like our value comes from, oh, yeah, look, I want to show people, hey, my grandma's on Instagram. Okay, text your grandma. Or just bring your kids. And if you can't because they're out of town, you know, like send them mail. There's ways around it. And I'm not bashing you because, again, my immediately family does it too. And I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of backlash from them. Like, oh, it's impossible. They're going to say it's impossible, right? Because that's just how my family is. But it's not. And it's just not a discussion. I'm sorry. It's just not. If you want to post, I mean,
babe, I get it. And I think
no,
that
it's just not
part of your role for our family is to protect us. So I know that the reason you feel this way is because you want to protect your family and you love your family.
And there's no gain.
And there's so much stuff coming out right now, too, about just like how crazy the child sex trafficking is and things like that. I mean, the majority of the kids are actually taken from the foster care system.
Yeah.
But still. I mean, you had somebody call you by name as a kid and say, get in the car. I need to take you. Like, oh, your mom called me. Hey, Vito, get in the car. We got to go see her.
Yeah.
Making it sound like something happened.
Oh, yeah. It was completely that way. We looked at each other like, who is this guy? Because he knows us. So we should know him.
Right.
And then we're like, nah, forget it. Because then we were told, stranger danger, if anyone ever says, my mom would tell it, even if they call us by name, even if they know your name,
or they said that I died, do not go.
Ever. You run the other way and you run. Mm-hmm. You run home as quickly as possible. That's just, I remember hearing that every time we went outside. Do not go by strangers. Do not ever get in a car with anybody. Ever. And we ran around the neighborhood, you know, like we weren't afraid to live. Like we were still kids. We were running around the neighborhood. It was a big neighborhood, but because you can't, you know, it's hard. You got to let your kids, like we have neighbors who their kids are like constantly outside running around the neighborhood and it's awesome. And that's what I want for our kids. But also we need to teach them no, ever, ever, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's, you know, even there'd be no reason why Bruno would need to pick up our kids without me know or with like with them being out.
I dropped the kids off at school.
Right, but you picked them up from home.
I picked them up at school.
Yeah. I know that. But then in the morning we tell them, hey, so Bruno's gonna pick you up from school.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like I don't know. It's just not unnecessary. It's like, oh, well, we need to. It feels so good to share. It's sharing. You're sharing your life.
Well, I also do feel like it'd be different.
There's no reason to share your life like that.
I do feel like it'd be different, though, if it wasn't like as public. Like also a lot of your family who has an Instagram have private accounts and only follow people they know.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's like it's like a shared family album.
But that's also why we've talked about this other app and things like that.
Well, that's why we developed an app who sponsors our podcast, the Our Story app.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go to Apple at the App Store. Why was I thinking? Go to the App Store, type in Our Story app, and it's an app where you as a couple can share your story with, like, for example, the other day we took a video of it was like what, your 30 week,
mm-hmm,
whatever, and we were just updating our unborn baby and showing them the house, and it was really cool because you get to see everything and hear everything, you know, so when they're older they can see kind of what we were going through now. Mm-hmm. And you can share that with just your immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
Or with nobody at all. Yeah. We almost use it just for our own library of, hey, we want to show the progress of our home, or we want to show, but it's only for our family.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't like a social media app. It's not anything really to share. It's just for you. And it prompts you with questions like, hey, who was your best friend growing up? Who was your favorite teacher? What's your most embarrassing moment? And you can feel comfortable sharing these stories with your family because it's just for your family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just for you and your kids. Or if you don't have kids, you know, just for you guys. So go to the App Store, download Our Story app and give it 5 stars so we can build some momentum and get some a nice development team on it and continue to grow it. I think it's a great purpose and a great vision, and hopefully it'll bring families closer together instead of trying to impress everybody on Instagram. We can just enjoy our small moments together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Tell us what your family mission statement is.
I did.
I'm saying homework for them. Don't forget to tell us what your family mission statement
that.
Is.
You looked me dead in the eyes and said, tell me what your mission. Yeah, so your homework this week is to create a mission statement with your partner or your family and to share it with us. Either DM Liz at eSandos, or do we still have the long haul Instagram account?
Yeah, I never check it.
Okay.
You can so, DM us there.
Yeah.
I'll get a notification.
Yeah. The Long Haul Podcast or eSandos. And we'll share some next week. Mm-hmm. And do it. I think it's important.
Do it.
Okay, now you're bringing your little, your one accent that you know out.
Not really.
Let's do a...
I can't do accents, guys. It's the worst. I can kind of do a British one.
But Ange, now I'm nervous. Ange did a great accent the other day.
Oh my gosh, she did really good.
I was so surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, wow, you got like everything down. So, Ange, I know you're listening. Shout out. You guys should follow Ange. She's great. I don't even know if her account's private or not.
I don't know.
No, she's fantastic.
Yeah, I know.
We should tell what I did. So, Ange's my buddy's fiance, this kid I grew up with. And I saw we were shopping for something, and my buddy's truck was in the parking lot.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I wrote a note that said... what did it say?
I know it. I'm going to tell Ange.
No, Ange knows you're...
No, I said, I'm going to tell Ange.
Oh, okay. I said, I'm going to tell Ange you're effed. And I wrote it and then, like, exclamation, whatever. And I put it on his windshield. And then he took a picture of it and sent it to Ange and was like, can you believe this stuff or whatever? So then Ange got all pissed off. And she...
Well, at first she didn't think anything of it.
Right.
Then he's going out of town for a bachelor party. And she said it just like... They weren't really talking, and then later she's like, wait, what?
Yeah, like, wait, what is
hold
this?
Hold on,
yeah.
What's
so
happening?
Then she was all confused, and then, like, this private number kept calling her, so then she was, like, her head was going, and then, like, one of her friends is going through stuff with kind of similar situations, so she was like, I can't believe this is happening, whatever. So then I told my buddy that it was me, and he was laughing, and
he's
so...
He's like, you gotta call
Yeah,
her.
So he's like, you gotta call Ann. So I called her, and she gave me the silent treatment, and then the next day she was like, I forgive you. But either way, pranks are fun as long as they're innocent. So I'm going to keep doing them. And you're probably going to be victim of it again someday.
Yeah, that's not very nice, but.
All right, guys, we love you. Create a mission statement for your family and send it to us. And we will share it next week.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.